Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The Czech Prime Minister has awarded medals to diplomats, soldiers, and others involved in the Afghanistan evacuation mission. Police questioned the Interior Minister over alleged links between unrealized Moscow trip, an explosion, and Sputnik doses. And UNICEF says the COVID pandemic forced some 20,000 Czech children into poverty. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš on Wednesday awarded the Karel Kramář Medal to diplomats, soldiers, and others who helped evacuate the Czech embassy in Afghanistan last month. At a ceremony held at the Liechtenstein Palace in Prague, among others, the Prime Minister praised the ambassador to Afghanistan, Jiří Balon, his deputy, and the embassy chief of staff for their personal bravery and professionalism. Minister of Interior Jan Hamáček spoke to police on Tuesday about an unrealized trip to Moscow during which he reportedly planned to offer to silence a deadly Russian operation on Czech soil in exchange for doses of the Sputnik coronavirus vaccine. Mr. Hamáček had announced the trip to Moscow last spring when he already had information pointing to Russian responsibility for the 2014 explosions. He categorically denies having even considered negotiations with the Kremlin to get Sputnik doses in exchange for concealing evidence of Russia's complicity in that fatal incident. Czech laboratories detected 588 new coronavirus cases on Tuesday. That's the largest increase for a weekday since the end of May. The reproduction rate is also on the rise and is now estimated at 1.48. Health Minister Adam Wojtek said on Wednesday that he had expected the situation to worsen after the summer holidays. The Parliamentary Health Committee is due to discuss the current state of the pandemic in the Czech Republic on Wednesday. The effects of the coronavirus pandemic, meanwhile, forced an estimated 20,000 children in the Czech Republic into poverty. This according to the local branch of UNICEF, which plans to release a full study later this month. Ahead of the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks on the United States, the Czech Center in New York, along with other organizations, is preparing a memorial program for Thursday and Friday evening. Part of the program includes the multimedia project Requiem 2021, dedicated to the memory of victims. In sports news, Barbara Krejčíková was knocked out of the U.S. Open quarterfinals in New York after losing to Arina Sabalenka of Belarus in two sets. It was the 25-year-old player's singles debut at the U.S. Open, which closes this year's Grand Slam season. Earlier, she won the French Open and, together with teammate Katarzyna Siniaková, won a gold medal in women's doubles at the Tokyo Olympics. Meanwhile, Karolina Pliskova, the world number 4, faces Maria Sakkari of Greece at the U.S. Open later on Wednesday. And finally, the weather. Thursday should be clear to partly cloudy, with average daytime highs of around 24 to 28 degrees Celsius. I'm Brian Kennedy, and that's the Czech News Roundup for now.
Listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the Czech Academy of Sciences has developed a new kind of lab test that could make the detection of coronavirus antibodies faster and cheaper. Prague is to install photovoltaics on public buildings as part of its climate plan. And in a new edition of our Czech book series, we will introduce a contemporary novelist, essayist and playwright, Jiří Kratochvíl. Stay with us. A new kind of lab test could make the detection of coronavirus antibodies faster and cheaper, according to scientists from the Czech Academy of Sciences who are behind its development. A license agreement for its industrial production has already been signed, and the test is expected to hit the market late in September. There are also hopes that it could help determine who is in need of a third vaccine dose. Tom McEncroe has the story.
After a 7-month-long research effort, scientists from the Czech Academy of Sciences Institute of Biotechnology and Organic Chemistry and Biochemistry have developed a new coronavirus antibody test that could cut the current week-long testing period to just around 4 hours. The new testing method was developed in the laboratory of Dr. Cyril Batinka from the Czech Academy of Sciences Institute of Biotechnology. He says that the main problem with current tests is that they can only measure the aggregate signal of all antibodies capable of recognizing the SARS-CoV-2 virus spikes protein. The benefit of the new test is that it only focuses on those antibodies capable of destroying the virus.
Our test basically detects only a subset of antibodies in the human plasma. Let's call them the elite antibodies that neutralize virus. It means they block binding of the virus to the host cells. In our assay, basically, you can measure up to, let's say, 96 samples at one time, and measurement time should be less than 3 hours in the laboratory.
The team says that this will not only make testing faster, but also significantly cheaper than the current price for an antibody test, which costs between 800 to 1,000 crowns. The research institutes involved in the project have already signed a license agreement with Immunotech, a Czech company that belongs to the multi-billion US biomedical testing corporation Beckman Coulter. This should enable the production of the new test on an industrial scale. According to Dr. Batinka, the tests are currently in the process of being registered with the European Union and will start selling on the market sometime in September. Biochemist Pavel Šácha, who also took part in the project, told Czech television that the test is simple, safe and can be conducted in almost any lab. However, Dr. Batinka stresses that the new method of antibody testing is not for domestic use.
Unfortunately, it's not for a general use because it's a quantitative test as well. It will tell you exactly how much antibodies, these protective antibodies you have in your system, and for that you need a special equipment.
Thanks to its ability to identify the amount of effective antibodies, Batinka believes that the test could also help specify which people are in need of a third so-called booster shot vaccine and which are not.
I think, is it an ongoing debate in the scientific community? Well, I strongly believe so, but there are not so many data out there yet. We will have to wait another half a year to really make these studies more thorough and more telling. But I would say yes.
That report by Tom McEncrow. Moving on now, a new organisation dedicated to the development of renewable energy sources will start operating in Prague in October. One of the main goals of the Prague Renewable Energy Community, which was approved by city councillors this May, will be installing photovoltaic panels on the city's buildings. Ruth Frankova has the details.
In the spring of this year, Prague councillors approved the 2030 climate plan, which seeks to reduce carbon dioxide emissions by 45% compared to 2010 within the next 20 years. To achieve the ambitious goal, the city needs to implement dozens of measures across various areas, including sustainable energy and buildings, sustainable mobility, circular economics and adaptation measures. One of the first steps carried out by the Prague Renewable Energy Community is to install photovoltaic panels at 40 schools and social facilities in the course of the coming year. The pilot project will be carried out on a city-owned apartment building in the district of Černý Most. Jaroslav Klusák is one of the people in charge of the project.
Most of the electricity produced here should also be used here. We're currently establishing an organization that will run these photovoltaics and have a license for the production and sale of the electricity produced. It should also serve as an electricity supplier for the housing estates.
Tomáš Voříšek, co-author of the city's climate plan, says similar models have already been successfully employed in other EU member states, including Austria, Germany and France.
We assumed that we would gradually recruit individual tenants for the project on a voluntary basis by offering better prices. We would also like to offer a smart electricity meter as part of the service, which can monitor the energy flow and allow people to optimize their electricity consumption.
If everything goes according to plan, a contractor should be selected at the start of next year and the first photovoltaic panels could be installed on the house by the end of 2022, says Mr. Voříšek.
Installing a photovoltaic system can reduce electricity consumption from the distribution network by at least a third on average. In ideal conditions, it can be reduced by more than 50%. We'd also like to expand the range of so-called cogeneration units, which can also use renewable gas or biomethane. That would allow producing electricity and heat even in the winter season and further improve the energy balance and the carbon footprint of the building.
The goal of the city's climate strategy is to install photovoltaics on 20,000 buildings in the city by 2030 and generate hundreds of megawatts of power. Among other steps within the newly approved climate plan, Prague councillors also plan to construct the first city-owned biogas plant, which could process waste from households and supply the city with biomethane for cars. Other steps include planting up to 1.5 million new trees, revitalizing numerous green spaces and installing drinking fountains throughout the city.
My thanks to Ruth Frankova for that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. Now, if you're into podcasts, here's something that may be of interest.
There are so many talented young Czechs in various fields of the arts and beyond. And they're the focus of our regular podcast, Czech Next Wave, produced jointly with the Czech Centres Network. Get to know big Czech names of the future. Subscribe to Czech Next Wave wherever you get your podcasts.
Do check out the podcasts available and the mini-series that we're currently running here at Radio Prague International at radio.cz. Now it's time for a fresh edition of our Czech book series with Ruth Frankova.
The Czech books you must read.
Novelist, essayist and playwright Jiří Kratochvil is one of the most respected Czech contemporary writers. Over his career, spanning more than 50 years, he has published dozens of novels and short story collections, which have been translated into a number of foreign languages, including German, Spanish, French, Italian, Bulgarian and Hungarian. Jiří Kratochvil is the recipient of many domestic literary awards, including the Magnesia Litera Award, Tom Stoppard Prize and the Jaroslav Seifert Award. Among the themes Jiří Kratochvil repeatedly addresses in his writing is personal identity and memory. He often returns in his memories to the time of his childhood and youth, spent in the protectorate and the 1950s, mixing realistic settings with fiction. Many of his books are set in his hometown of Brno.
My life began in the Reichsprotektorat Böhmen und Mähren, and I am likely to end my days in the Czech Republic. As it happens, at the start and at the end of my life, there it was, an entity from which Slovakia had been cut off. However, the majority of my life took place in Czechoslovakia. Does that make me feel a Czech or a Czechoslovak? I would say that things are more complicated, especially in my case. Let me explain. My grandfather on my mother's side was a Ukrainian. His name was Zhila, and he was the grandson of an Orthodox bishop from the Polish-Ukrainian borderlands who had reached these parts sometime in the early 19th century.
My grandmother on my mother's side, Emilia Hubelová, was a German. My other grandmother came from the Polish Siminides family that had settled in Moravia several generations back. Her husband, my grandfather on my father's side, was a full-blooded Moravian. That makes me one quarter Czech, another quarter Pole, a quarter German, and a quarter Ukrainian. Let's say Central European, which is an ideal genetic makeup suited for life in the European Union. But this is where the problem lies. For that to be true, I would have to feel wholly positive towards this family trousseau and each one of its national branches. And I have to admit shamefacedly that this, unfortunately, is not the case.
That was an excerpt from Jiří Kratochvil's short story It's Too Late Now in a translation by Julia Sherwood. Jiří Kratochvil was born in Brno on the 4th of January 1940. His father fled Czechoslovakia in the early 1950s, and as a result, the family was persecuted by the communist authorities. Kratochvil studied Czech and Russian at the Masaryk University and started publishing his first short stories in the late 1960s. Just a few years later, he was put on a blacklist, and for the next 20 years, he couldn't publish officially. His first Samizdat work, The Case of the Inappropriately Placed Chance, appeared in 1978. In the same year, he published a Bears novel set in the totalitarian state of Ireland, an allegory for the Czechoslovak totalitarian regime. The novel, which was awarded the Tom Stoppard Prize, is considered by Kratochvil to be his most important work. During the communist years, Jiří Kratochvil worked as a heating operator, a night watchman, and a manual labourer. It was only after the Velvet Revolution that his novels reached a mass readership, and a number of his works were published in quick succession, including a re-edition of a Bears novel. Zbigněk Fischer is the head of the Department of Czech Literature at the Masaryk University's Faculty of Arts in Brno.
Projevilo se to v tom, že
I think he felt he had to catch up and write the stories he had inside his head. And so at a certain point, he was in a situation where he was deciding whether he should stay employed or freelance. He wondered if he could make a living freelancing. It was clear that it wasn't going to be easy, but he decided to take the chance because it was really important to him. And if you look at the impressive string of titles published books since 1999, it's been a title every year or every other year.
To je každý rok nebo každý druhý rok jeden titul.
Among his most critically acclaimed book published in the 1990s is Singing in the Middle of the Night, based on the autobiographical experience of a child of a post-1948 emigrant growing up in the 1950s Brno. The story, based on a search for a father, was published in German, French, Spanish and Italian. At the start of the new millennium, Kratochvil released a loose trilogy, including the novels Despondent God, Lie Down Beast, a story taking place in the 1950s Brno, reflecting on the 9/11 attacks in New York City, and Lady Carnival. In 2007, he published a collection of short stories called Stories of the Town of Brno, which he claims to be his favorite work. His hometown of Brno is present in most of Jiří Kratochvil's writing. Indeed, he says that although it may not be explicitly said, the characters that populate his books are always people from Brno. Literary critic Zbigněk Fischer adds that thanks to Kratochvil's works being translated to other languages, the city of Brno has become part of world literature.
Jiří Kratochvil vyrůstal v Brně.
Jiří Kratochvil grew up in Brno. He seems to like Brno very much because he dedicates many stories to it. Most of his stories are set in Brno or in its surroundings. If the characters are cast somewhere else, he is able to portray the place believably, but Brno is the most obvious. Of course, whether his text could function as a kind of local history or a literary guide to Brno, I'm not entirely sure.
Nevím, tím si nejsem tak zcela jist.
Jiří Kratochvil says that writing comes naturally to him, as he has always enjoyed telling stories and turning reality into fantasy. His narrative style usually mixes realistic settings with pure fiction and often has a dreamlike quality. Kratochvil himself describes his style as magical realism.
Kratochvil se k tomu hlásí asi právě proto,
Kratochvil subscribes to it because of the suppression of a direct storyline, the natural traditional narrative that he disrupts. His writings also feature something fanciful, magical, which is confronted with ordinary reality. And in that world of ordinary characters, the magical is accepted as a perfectly natural thing. No one questions the fact that there are paranormal phenomena. That's a feature we find in the texts of South American magical realists, and we could find it here too.
Jo, amerických nalézáme a tady bychom ho mohli najít také.
In 2020, Jiří Kratochvil won the Magnesia Litera Award for his magical realist novel Fox into Lady, released in 2019. It is a tale of a fox turned into a beautiful woman who is sent by the Russians on a secret mission to Czechoslovakia during the Cold War. There, she falls in love with a Brno worker who collaborates with the secret police. In an interview for Czech radio, Jiří Kratochvil says he would rather have received the Magnesia Litera Award for one of his many collections of short stories, since he considers short stories his favorite genre.
Já bych řekl, že nevyzvedávám povídky oproti románům.
I wouldn't say I put short stories over novels. It is simply a genre that is neglected, which rarely receives literary prizes. I don't know about a Nobel Prize for short stories. Short stories are considered a minor genre, and I wanted to emphasize that this is not the case. A master storyteller is as important as a novelist. Each of those genres has something to it. Actually, when I write novels, I have to have a frame story, and then I fill it with a patchwork of stories. So my novels are actually storybooks, too.
To vlastně taky povídkové knihy s tím rámcovým příběhem.
In the interview for Czech radio, Mr. Kratochvil also said his books are always politically engaged, at least to some extent, as he cannot help reflecting the political reality around him and revisiting his childhood and youth spent in the 1950s communist Czechoslovakia.
Milan Udej said that politics is present in all of my novels and in most of my short stories. That I can't get rid of what we live in. It just bothers me what is happening in our country and the consequences of that, so I'm actually writing engaged literature. Of course, I'm so marked by my life and childhood in the 50s that I can't help it coming up again and again. There's nothing I can do about that, unless I stop publishing. But I definitely won't stop writing because I'm obsessed with the stories and the process makes me very happy.
Jsem posedlý vyprávěním příběhu a to mě velice těší, ale...
Jiří Kratochvil's last book, You Won't Step Twice Into the Same River, came out in 2020. Although none of his books are available in English so far, he's represented in various English language anthologies, such as The Best European Fiction 2012, published by the US Dalkey Archive Press.
That edition of Czech Books on Jiří Kratochvil was prepared by Ruth Franková. And I'm afraid it brings us to the end of today's broadcast from Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be happy to hear from you. And remember, you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for listening and take care.